Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, and chapter 28. Appreciate your generosity, and it's great what our church is able to do around the world and just be a part of something like that. And so $100. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 28. I'm going to talk about called and equipped. Called and equipped. Exodus 28, and I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which that they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that they may minister unto me and the priests in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're grateful for the word of God, and thank you for the chance to tonight have our hearts stirred for a needy nation, Lord. And thank you for that. Thank you for your spirit speaking to us. Thank you for the opportunities. We are in the greatest time in the history for missions, Lord. And we just thank you for these open doors we have and we get to be a part of. We pray you'd work mightily in that ministry and work in our hearts tonight and speak to us, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses is told, and Moses is getting all the law from God on the mountain here, and he's getting a lot of stuff. And one of the things he gets instructions that the priests, and especially the high priests, are supposed to have certain clothes. And they are really fine, special clothes made very specifically for certain things. And God gave real specific instructions because, as we said in the temple, all the symbolism there, as we talked about Sunday morning, it points us to Jesus. This high priest was going to be symbolism of Jesus. As Hebrews tells us, in Hebrews 4 and other chapters, tells that Jesus is our high priest. And it all symbolized him. And Jesus was able to, and it was going to teach us about Jesus. And his clothing was very specific and very ornate and very special and had every little detail God custom ordered. And he says, build these clothes this way. And God calls them holy garments. This clothing is a matter of life and death. How they're made, whether he wears them. You couldn't go into the Holy of Holies without these things. You're required when doing your jobs. One person could only wear these things. And they had to be made according. Boy, talk about custom order. I mean, if somebody, you're making a suit and somebody says, "Oh, who am I working for?" Or you're doing a job for somebody. You look and say, who am I doing this job for? This might be a particular person. They might like things exact. They're making it per God's instructions. God's going to notice if things aren't made right. And so Moses is told, you've got to go and have these holy clothes made. And then he gives all the instructions, inscription, size, what wears on the inside, what wear on the outside, and every little detail, what you wear on your head and what it says, and the two parts of this, and the way this is made, and every little detail, all these amazing details except for the shoes, because there is no shoes because they're walking on holy ground. So they don't wear anything for the feet. And it's a very exact of what he says. If you look at verse the breastplate, over his shoulders are going to hang down a breastplate that goes right a square basically along here, and so it talks about this breastplate, and you can go bring that up, Mark, if you can bring one of those guys up there. And verse 15, it says here, "And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment and of cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold and of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine twine linen shalt thou make it. Four square shall it be doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it in settings of stones. Even four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardis and topaz and carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, sapphire, and diamond. And the third row, a ligure and an agate and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl and an onyx and a jasper. And they shall be set in gold in their enclosings. So here's this breastplate. And it's got all these different stones set in there in a certain exact way. And by the way, don't get the stones mixed up. God says, you put this stone first, and this stone this, and then this stone, and then this stone, and this stone, and this stone. And he's given all these specific instructions about this breastplate. And on the name of each one of those stones is written the name of one of the tribes of Israel. And it's a symbolism. It's done right. You're going to put it over your shoulder. It's not the kind of thing you say, well, it's good enough. No, this is one set of holy garments to symbolize eternal things and the heart of God and the work of God and what it's supposed to do. If you look at verse 29, chapter 28 and verse 29, it says, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart. And when he goeth before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually." He says, I want you to understand that in the ministry and in doing God's work, you carry on your heart all the judgment and all the care and in your heart for the people that God has given you to minister to. And but when you're coming before God with me, have these people on your heart and a name of each one of them and all the symbolism, and it's got to be done just right. And then he talks about an ephod. And on the ephod, which goes clothing that goes over the shoulders and hangs down, that goes over the robe that's underneath, he talks about there's only two stones there in verse 12. It says, "Thou shalt put two stones upon the shoulder of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his shoulders for memorial." And so it's probably too zoomed in there. But if you just zoom out, you can see he has those stones. Go to the other picture too, if you could, the other picture than this one. So up on the shoulders, we don't know exactly what it looks like, but you don't need to zoom in, it's fine. And you can see these stones upon his shoulders. They're onyx stones. And all these colors it talks about in gold and purple and fine twine linen and the breastplate. And every part of that clothing on his head, there's a gold plate going around his head. And it says, "Holiness unto the Lord" across it. Man, on these onyx stones, on each one of them is the names of six tribes. Six tribes here, six tribes here. And you are carrying on your shoulders the burden of God's people. And so it's talking about on your heart with care and on your shoulders with carrying the weight. And that's what God's people who minister, whether it's a pastor, whether it's any Christian, should have someone on their heart before the Lord and carrying the weight of the people on their shoulders. And all these things, but wait a minute. Do you know how hard it must have been back there to carve the names of Naphtali and Dan and Judah on a six things on a stone? They couldn't use a laser. Today you probably program a computer and da-da-da and it's zzz. I don't know how you do that, be honest with you. You're chipping rock somehow. Maybe you use a very fine chisel, but try to make Naphtali on a little rock in little tiny letters with a hammer and chisel. Try making a curve letter. You talk about hard. You know, my nature is just to do things myself. And the first thing I think is, how in the world am I going to do this? But here's the thing. God said, Moses, you do this. And everything God told Moses to do, he did. He didn't always, as we find many times throughout the Bible, and I won't even get to it tonight, many times throughout the Bible, God gives someone to do and they say, how in the world am I going to do that? What they never know until they obey. Once they obey, God gives them the way. But God never calls you to do anything he does not equip you to do. Now, if you didn't notice it in our text verse, go back to Exodus 28. And in verse 3, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, and they shall make Aaron's garments. It's interesting. He's given Moses something to do, but he's going to give him the people to do it. Because when you're called by God, he equips you, whether you know you have the equipment or not. Look at chapter 31. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding. Notice, I called him by name, and I filled him with the Spirit to do this job. In all knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and in brass and in cutting of stones, to set them in and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Behold, and I have given unto him Aholadab, the son of Ashimach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, and they shall make all that I have commanded thee. In the tabernacle and in the furniture. Notice now, God's got a guy to do the jewels. God's got a guy to do the timber. God's got a guy to do the tabernacle. He filled them. He called them. He made them. Chapter 32. I'm sorry, chapter 35. Go forward to chapter 35. And verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in all knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, and to work with gold and silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, and to set them. You know what I'm doing if I'm Moses? I'm saying, all you guys, toughest guys, don't let anything happen to that guy. He can cut stones. He can set them in gold. He can work with all kinds of curious arts and do. I mean, the guy was probably as weird as can be. Probably was happy sitting there going, tink, 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 with whatever he had. And he was a special guy that God made to do this stuff. And Moses found him, and he found these other men. And this guy says, hey, I can build all that stuff for the tabernacle. I'd love to. And people say, oh, man, you should see what he makes. And he brings something out. And everybody says, good night, you made that? And he shows gold and things set in gold. And he didn't have all the tools that we might have today, but he's given a supernatural ability. Why? Because God called for these things, so he's not going to leave Moses high and dry. Somebody's got engraved 12 names on two stones. He calls his people for the job, and they did the job perfectly. Chapter 36, then wrought Bezalel and Aholadab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work in the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholadab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom. Then everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work to do it. They'd started doing the job. He supplied it. And they did the job well. Verse 4, these wise-hearted that wrought the work of the sanctuary came every man from the work which he had made. Then they spake unto Moses, saying that the people bring much more than is enough. Now Moses probably also thought, how are we going to get all this gold from, and where are we going to get all this linen, where are we going to buy all this stuff, and where are we going to get the stuff for the tabernacle and the furniture and all the gold? And the people started bringing it. And they brought so much, they finally said, Moses, tell them to stop. We have more than enough, it says. Verse 5, then spake Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering in the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from the bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Guys, we don't have anywhere else to put the gold. Quit bringing it. Isn't that amazing? God provided everything. He said, Moses, go build these things. By the way, I know what you'll need to build them. So I'll make sure. By the way, you know where they got a lot of that stuff? Egypt. Remember, who told them to take all the gold from the Egyptians? Maybe God foresaw the need ahead of time. God knows ahead of time. And so he prepares the way, and he gives someone, and he provides with someone, and someone has the ability. Listen, folks, when you find out that God is never going to leave you high and dry, you quit worrying, and you start obeying. You say, I can never do that. If God wants you to do it, you can do it. That's all. That's all there is to it. If God wants you to do it, you don't need to worry, and you need to quit looking at you. I told Brother Soto when I was with him, take him to Haiti with me. And Brother Soto, I've known, 1990, I guess I've known him from. And we worked closely together in ministry in Chicago. I mean, we know each other well, and we preach at other churches many times. And I told him when he met at the airport and we sat next to each other on the plane, I said, Brother Soto, you're going to find out I am way over my head here. I said, you're going to see what God does with me, and you're going to be stunned. I said, I'm way over my head, but it's obvious God's called me to do it, so he makes it work somehow. So I don't live my life saying, oh, I just can't do that. I say, if God's got me to do it, he's going to make a way. And it's going to be very interesting how he does that. Do you know why I'm not worried about this building? Because God's moving us. You know what churches usually do when they are going to be somewhere in 3 weeks and they don't know where? There are some issues. Why? Because if God has called us, he's going to provide the way, the place, the situation. I don't know what it is. And he might wait till the last minute. He might tell us Saturday night, the last day. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know who God calls. God equips. God does not leave you high and dry. Someone once said, whom God calls, God equips. But I think a better way to say that is he does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. If you do not obey, you will never find out God has that guy to carve the stones. If Moses did like most of us do and said, this is ridiculous. God, do I look like a seamstress? I can't do that. There's no way. Where are we going to get the... How are we going to do that? How do you put six tribes on one rock? This guy's going to have rocks as big in his shoulders if I do it. But when you obey... After you obey, you find out God had a way. How many people just said, you know, I felt like God wanted me to do this, but I never did it because I didn't see how it happened. Boy, did they miss out. Did they miss out? You don't even have to see it. You just have to trust God enough to obey. God came to Gideon and he said, hail, thou mighty man of valor. And he says, I'm hiding. Why are you calling me a mighty man of valor? But he became a mighty man of valor because God equipped him to lead those people with 300 people to the victory. Because you get equipped, God equips the called who will obey him. Let me give you one more verse. We're rushing through tonight. We've done a lot tonight. Called and equipped. You'd be amazed what you could do if you would just let God do what he tells you to do, whether you doubt he can do it or not. Whether you think you can do it or not. This is an amazing verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. What a verse. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Did you catch that? God said, I'm going to call you and then I'm going to do it. It's so awesome. Why? Because he knows we can't do it. He's going to get a lot of glory when he uses us. He usually calls us above our heads, where you need God. And so God says, when I call you, I'm faithful, and I'll also do whatever I called you to do. I began the good work. I will perform it. I am a God that does that. Then go back to Exodus, one more verse, Exodus 39. Called and equipped. I don't think you're selling yourself short when God tells you to do something and you look at yourself too much and you say you can't do it. I think you sell God short. I think that's what we do. Exodus 39. Everybody works. Everybody does their stuff. Verse 30. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and they wrote in it in writing, like under the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And they tied it to the lace of blue. Everything's getting done. Verse 32, thus was all the work of the tabernacle, the tent of the congregation, finished. Now watch the inspection at the end, verse 43. Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. Did you notice Moses inspected? Now I want to say, one of the craziest things in the world to me right now is we are so messed up and insecure and anti-authority. Do you know how many people will get angry if their boss comes and checks their work? It's like an insult to check your work. It's not an insult. It's their job. If someone gives you something to do, they have every right to go make sure you did it right. Moses went back and Moses said, I don't want you going in there having misspelled Naphtali. And God's at me for it. Let's go take a look here. If I would have done it, it would have been across the thing and, you know, wide out. In fact, I just wrote on it with a Sharpie. Moses came in and looked and he said, yep, that's the way that crown's supposed to look. Holiness unto the Lord. Yep, got it right. Look, those names are on there. You got the, let's see, which jewel is first? Dun, 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 yep. Man, this stuff's incredible. That is beautiful. Look at the tabernacle. You guys, I don't know how you guys did this, but you sure did. You did an amazing work. I can't improve on it. And of course, they were master craftsmen. They did it better than Moses could have wanted because of who they were, because they were made for that job. And in the end, Moses says, God bless these people for doing this. And Moses blessed them. Why? Because God called Moses to have this done, but he didn't say, Moses, go figure out how to do all this stuff. No, he also said, I'm making you. And some little kid somewhere sat in his yard, his mom saying, would you quit scratching things in rocks? What's wrong with you? Because God made some kid to do that. And the kid was probably as weird as could be. And everybody laughed at him until all of a sudden they needed a carver, and everybody laughed at him, said, you know, I used to sit next to him and I talked about how wonderful his carvings and rocks were. You liar, you were making fun of him. But these people were all made because God saw Moses intersected with a need and a job, and he says, let me give him the help he needs. So when God calls, realize he'll equip you to do something. He'll give you the ability. So just obey. He wants you to go soul winning. You say, I can't do it. You got God. God puts in your heart to give. Say, God, give me the ability to give. God, if he puts it on you, he wants to help you. Faithful is he that has called you, who will also do it. Whom he calls, he equips. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Just a very short message, but I pray tonight we would trust and obey, that we would go and realize that you can do whatever needs done. That we would go and realize that if you have something for us to do, if you gave us children, you give us the ability to parent them if we'll pray and seek your face. If you put us in a position where we have a ministry, you'll give us the ability to do it. Lord, whatever it is, I pray tonight, we would trust you enough that you're not going to call us without equipping us. Lord, you've been good to us. You've done many things in our lives. Help us to trust you enough to obey. Help us to realize you know what you're doing. Help us to realize you're not by accident giving us the instructions. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for these truths tonight. And thank you for the amazing people you gave Moses, experts, to do a job so he could get done what you gave him to do. Thank you for these things. I pray tonight that we would be trusting in you and obeying you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. He does not call the